Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
Come on in. You're just in time. Take a seat.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Roo. Sir, I have a problem with my boiler.
How about some coffee? Cream, sugar?
What is the best backup generator made today?
Blueberry scone, perhaps?
When you turn on the hot water, it whistles like a train.
Get comfy, because Lou Casa, Tu Casa. And he's taking your questions till 10. Right here on the Mr. Fix-It Show with Lou Manfredini on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Hi, everybody. Lou Manfredini, 713 in the morning, the Mr. Fix-It Show. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by Ace Hardware, Hermosillo Basement Systems, and by Rogers Roofing. (312) 981-7200 is our phone number. Good morning, Veronica Carter.
Good morning.
Morning, Sam. How are you?
Good, Lou.
Nice to see you both this morning. Lindsay's in the producer booth when you call in. Good morning, Lindsay. I'm not listening. I'm not hearing you. All right.
Good morning.
Oh, there you go. Oh. All right. That wasn't me. We have these beautiful studios up here, which Sam and Veronica. Veronica, you've been in this business a long time. When you were at BBM, did they have nice studios?
It's very nice. The view's very nice, too.
Yeah.
The board, you know, the where we push the buttons.
Yeah.
Longest, biggest, convoluted thing I've ever seen in my life.
Push this button, push this, turn around, put your foot up, and then talk on the mic.
Exactly. And it's so big that you can't reach all the way across it. You have to slide your chair back and forth constantly.
Oh, you're
to,
kidding.
Yeah, to the microphone to reach. Not unless
funny.
You have, like, monkey arms.
That's funny. You know, I was listening to BBM last night because, you know, I do research.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of voices on news stations like that. You know, you've got someone, you know, you've got someone doing sports like Sam, and then you've got someone doing traffic and weather on the eights. And then you have the host. Jan Coleman was on last night. Jan Coleman, I don't know if people remember, Lindsay, you wouldn't know this, but when I started working here 21 years ago, Jan Coleman and I worked together. She worked here at WGN.
She is one of the nicest people.
She was so nice. I mean,
she's hard to get to know because at first when she doesn't talk much.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't say anything.
She's very good.
But then once you start talking to her, she's just a really nice person.
Yeah, she's very good on the air. But so do you guys have, is it set up over there? Hi, we're going to learn back. We're going to peel the curtain behind BBM this morning. do you all see each other or are you all in different studios like with lights that kick on when you know you're supposed to talk?
You can see everyone except the traffic person.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and the weather people. They aren't in the mm-hmm. building either. So we're going remotely to that.
I miss about the whole configuration of the studios is back in the day when we were downstairs, where Lindsay is sitting right now in this studio. I don't even know. What is this studio called? Do we even know what this is?
Studio A.
Thank you. This is Studio A. Thank you, Sam. Well, it used to be the news people. Like when I used to do news with or Lyle Dean used to do news. I could see Lyle right through the glass.
Yeah, I like that better.
I like when we're having a conversation about something or a news story, you know, you can look at each other and play off of each other. Like right now, I'm looking at you on the camera, but there's a slight delay.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if I go, ooh, how about this? And then
I'm sticking my tongue at you, you can't tell for a couple of seconds.
Stop doing that. Did you just give me the number one sign, too? She just said to me, I'm number one. I don't think that's the right finger. Oh, my gosh, Veronica, it's only 7:16 in the morning. Was that because we were so late for news? She just said you're number one. She mouthed,
she's
she didn't
so
say
sweet.
It. She goes, you're number one, and gave me the number one sign.
Mm. Do you remember some people didn't like to be seen in the studio? Remember, like, between the, like, you and I have a window where we can see each other. But the host.
Oh, Brandmeier, yeah. Brandmeier wanted to be in a cave.
You weren't going to throw him under the bus.
No.
Luke took the wheel.
Yeah, no, that's fine. He would cover everything up. But see, now that's an interesting thing because right now, for those of you in the radio world, downstairs in the Showcase studio, which is beautiful and looks out on Michigan Avenue, the problem I have with that studio is I am a easily distracted. I know this is hard to believe for those of you that work with me and listen, but it is easy for me to be distracted.
I am that way, too.
And when I was in, last week, I was in Davenport, Iowa, beautiful Davenport, Iowa, at the beautiful Black Hawk Hotel. went in Davenport, stay at the Blackhawk, beautiful hotel. And I was in my hotel room sitting at a little desk doing the show. And I really do think that you're more in tune with the listener, which is why I think Brandmeier does this where he wants to be in his whole room, because then you're really focused on the listener. My problem is I'm down there on the Showcase studio going, wow, look at that cute girl running by.
I was going to say, there's a lot of joggers on Michigan Avenue. In
the- right. You know what I mean? And I'm just really, when I'm watching the joggers, here. I'm watching to see if their running form is good. You know, the marathon's coming up. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure that they're lifting their knees high enough and...
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, of course.
There's that pointing at you again.
Right.
You talk about distractions, though. Your show, 7 to 10. Friday nights, we do the high school football anywhere from 10 to midnight.
Right.
Imagine those distractions.
Oh, my gosh.
People trying to find their footing on Michigan Avenue.
Can I tell you something? I want you guys to do the high school football show on the road. Sam, we got to get this done.
I'd love it.
Okay, listen to me. This is my, I've given this idea. I don't know what else I have to do to help this station be successful. All right, here's what you're going to do, Sam. You with me?
Yes.
Back when Jordan Burnfield worked here, fine young man, fine broadcaster, Friday night high school football in the Chicagoland area is huge. Okay, it really is. It's not Texas, but it's big. Okay? So each Friday night, you guys go and you do a show. You do your show, post-game show, from a high school. All right? Now, stay with me. So what time do you normally do that show on Friday?
Usually
night?
It's 10. Sometimes it's 11.
All right. Well, we need to do it a little earlier because this is what I want you to do. I want you to be on the air when it's halftime for most of these Friday night games. Now, hear me out. Now, you're going to get a young, budding broadcaster, the kid who's on the newspaper at Deerfield High School. Right? We're going to go to Jimmy Smith, who is over at Deerfield High School, Jimmy, and he's going to give you a two-minute thing about the game between Deerfield and Glenbrook South, okay? And you're going to go around the horn, like, and go, and now we're going to go here all on the phone, right? And you're going to get updates, whatever, and then you guys are going to do this, and then you're going to recap all the games, and you're going to feature one game, and then it's going to get sponsored by Allstate or State Farm, who's going to want to reach all these kids to remind them not to text and drive.
It's a nice little combo there.
Is anybody listening to this? The sales staff, if they're awake right now, should already have this sold.
I'm typing a memo right now.
Right.
Hold on.
This is ease. This is, you know what this is called in the business? Low-lying fruit. And then you guys get to move around. You meet the fans, and you're able to touch them in a way that other radio stations can't. You're welcome. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is the Mr. Fix-It Show. I have the greatest Noodaloo 2 if you have chipmunks in your yard that you have to listen to at 7:50 this morning. We'll take a quick break and go to your phone calls right after this.
Another Saturday morning on WGN Radio, and that means you're listening to the Mr. Fix-It Show with Lou Manfredini. Now back to Lou on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
This week, Brittany and Elliot roll back the clock to a simpler time and roll out to the best retro restaurants, Chicago's best, Sunday night at 10 on WGN TV.
7:24 in the morning, Lou Manfredini here, the Mr. Fix-It Show. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Tom in Naperville. Tom, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Lou?
How are you?
Lou Manfredini.
Speaking.
This is Tommy Phillips from Naperville, Illinois.
Nice to talk to you, Tommy Phillips from Naperville, Illinois. How may I help you, sir?
Tommy bought a used home that the owners of the home, after the inspection of the home, was not done very well, and I found two bad things.
Okay.
A 250-gallon... old heater, water heat, the fuel oil tank that's inside the for the old fuel oil, you know, heating system inside the house.
Right.
They never told me that it was underneath the front porch, cemented in. They took all the pipes off and they never sanded it out. If I go back to the inspection company, are they responsible for the problem that's underneath my front porch? First question. Second part of it, they kept on dumping all the lint into the utility sink and literally destroyed the field that's in the ground for the sump pump. The inspection company, they charged me $1,000 to do the home inspection.
Wow.
Because of the good loan that I got. And I'm very happy with whatever else I've done with the house.
Okay.
But are those two things covered? And can I go and what do I have to do now to go after or do something to get this resolved? Because now the insurance company knows that I have a bad situation underneath the cemented front porch that I'm responsible for.
Right. Okay, so the fuel oil tank, did you buy, is the home in Illinois that you bought?
Naperville.
Okay.
Sunny Naperville, Illinois.
Okay.
If you want to come here, I'll show you.
So the fuel oil tank, you know, they have to disclose if they know they have a fuel tank there. Now, how long have the prior owners lived there when you bought that house?
1958.
Yeah, so...
And Mr. and Mrs. K both died inside the house, literally. So,
okay. So was the home sold as is, or was the home sold with a disclosure form?
A complete disclosure form from the relatives that probably didn't know about it, but maybe did. Out-of-town relatives.
Okay. Well, so that disclosure form, then, you know, something like that could be, in fact, There's some room there to, you really have to go back to your real estate attorney on all this, because with the inspection company, you know, a fuel tank inspection, they're going off of a disclosure form that says there are no fuel tanks. So, but a home that age, a quality home inspector would probably even then kind of look for evidence if they could of this. So it's something I think I would raise. But I think the first place to start is to go back to whomever the real estate attorney is that you you hired to have this conversation. Now, for the sump pump issue and the lint, I mean, that's really not anything that has to be disclosed. It's more of a something that has to be repaired. And I don't know that typically is something an inspector would see and be able to inspect. They don't come with cameras to put inside pipes to do that. So... your first step here, Tom, is to go back to the attorney that you hired, raise these two issues. As far as removing those tanks, you're going to have that professionally done. And there's EPA requirements that go there, and so you have to more than likely work with the city of Naperville, because those contractors have to be approved in each village that they work in, and get some names of people to at least get some estimates so that you know what you're talking about when you go back to these to this attorney to find out what's going on.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And I can't just physically go out in the front and bust out the whole thing and say, there's the tank, get it out of there, or do they have to do all the work themselves? Because it's a beautiful home that I'm putting back together again.
Right. Well, yes, you can do the work, but there are very specific rules as to what has to happen with that soil and contamination. So, in other words, if you wanted to do the work to try and save some money to actually pull the tank out of there, you probably could, but you're still going to have to get a licensed contractor to come out and do all the soil testing, and by that time it's not worth it. Pulling the tank out is the easiest part of it. It's doing all the soil remediation that really is the expensive part. I'm really sorry about that issue, but unfortunately, it does have to start with a conversation with the lawyer. Appreciate the phone call. It is 7:29 in the morning. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Amy Guth. Saturday nights from 7 to 9 p.m., you're listening to my friend Lou Manfredini on 720 WGN.
Here at the field,
7:40 in the morning. Lou Manfredini here with you. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. The Mr. Fix-It Show. Coming up, we've got the greatest answer for moles and voles and chipmunks. You're welcome. Let's go on the phones here and talk to Fred in Arlington Heights. Fred, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou.
How can I help you?
A different question. My son was driving in the neighborhood, and someone was having a new roof put on, and he saw what he thought was a leaf blower on the roof. And he couldn't quite believe his eyes, so he drove back, and he said, yes, there's a leaf blower on the roof while they're putting this new roof on. why in the world would they be using a leaf blower on the roof?
Oh, well, I mean, they're probably using the leaf blower on the roof to get all the... If it was a tear-off...
Yeah, it was a tear-off.
Yeah, so there's a lot of debris that's, you know, on that roof before they put down the paper. Or, you know, in particular, if they were going to put some ice and water shield down at the first couple of levels, you know, coming up from the gutters, that's a super, okay, that's a super sticky roll of rubber, essentially. And you want to make sure that the, you know, the material that you're sticking to is kind of dust-free so it gets a nice contact. So it's probably, it's just a way, it's faster than a broom.
It was just kind of weird to see the leaf blower on the roof. I don't...
Yeah, oh yeah. No, I've seen that a lot. That's you know, they're all using tools that, you know, especially when you're a pro, you're using tools that you can make the job go faster so you can move on to the next one. So it sounds like that particular roofing company was just doing a nice job to make sure that the work that they did was going to stay put and nothing was going to leak. Thanks so much for the phone call. Here's Gary in Westmont. Hey, Gary, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. My question is, I have a small deck extends out from a sunroom, and where this deck goes into the backyard, because of all the rain, the bottom step and the pole that, you know, it's connected to is sinking into the ground. And so it's not level, the stairs. And I'm thinking, what's the best way to get a level without having to tear the whole deck apart and or stairs apart and redoing it?
Can you get can you get behind it?
No, it's all connected right to the deck.
Okay. And is it sitting, that pole that you mentioned that the railing, I assume, is connected to?
Right.
Is that inside concrete, or is it sitting on top of a concrete? Do the stairs sit on top of a concrete sidewalk?
Well, I don't think, no, I think they just put it on the hard ground.
Oh, all right. Well,
and that's, and so there's, you know, after all this rain, it's just eventually after a couple
right.
of years.
So when you come down the stairs, you're just going onto the backyard, the grass or something like that?
Right.
Okay. Are you up for a little bit of work?
As long as I can lose some weight.
Do you need to lose the weight first before you do the work, or you're willing to do it to lose a little weight?
Lose a little weight while
right.
I'm doing it, yeah.
Okay. Go to measure the distance of the width of these stairs. Go to one of the big boxes and buy a couple of concrete pavers, you know, like something that's 18 by 18 or 12 by 12 or 24 by 24, whatever it is.
Okay.
Then with a spade shovel, you're going to get underneath these stairs, or if you have a friend with a spade shovel, two of you, and you're going to kind of hoist it up and say, wow, if I could just come up this high, it would be level. This would be great. You're going to dig a little of that dirt out from underneath it when you have this wedged up and maybe with a couple blocks of wood. And then you're going to slide these concrete pavers underneath there. So now the stairs sit on that paver, displacing more of the weight and giving you a nice level set of stairs that shouldn't move as much. I mean, it's always going to move because you're on the ground, but this should keep it from moving as often when the ground gets soft.
So put it right on the bottom of the stairs.
Well, you're going to lift the stairs.
The last step.
Well, the kicker on the bottom, right?
Right.
Imagine if you could just grab the thing and lift it up and slide those brick, the concrete pavers underneath there, booked together. Have them be a little bit wider when you put them all together, so that's why you have to measure it, a little bit wider than what the stairs are now, so that the stringers, you know, the things that are holding the steps, bear on top of the concrete. Does that make sense?
Yeah, okay.
Right.
So it's not the stairs itself, it's the pole or the
everything that's supporting the stairs.
Oh, okay. So then I don't have to dig down that.
No.
I shouldn't have to dig down that deep then.
No, but you'll probably have to have someone help you kind of rock it up a little bit on the end of a spade shovel so that you can slide. You may have to move a little dirt around, but it's not that difficult. You're just going to be on your hands and knees, and you'll be skinnier. Thanks for the phone call. 7:45 in the morning. We'll be right back. A little setup for our Noodaloo 2, which I'm very excited about. So we have had at our home in Chicago a reoccurring problem with chipmunks, okay? And I have done a lot of the things that I have recommended on this radio show for years about, a little shake away and this and that. And one day I'm in our hardware store in Edgebrook, and just out of the blue, I'm talking to Ed, who is our store manager over there, And he said, man, I tried this Sonic steak that we've had this problem at his house with chipmunks. And
I think it's Sonic Spike.
Well, he said steak.
Oh, okay.
I'm telling the story.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, you can be more specific. Okay. And he said, I've had it there, and we've had this problem with chipmunks. I put one in the front and the back, and it's amazing, and it really works. And I go, no way. So he goes and grabs one off the shelf, and he hands it to me, and he hands me this thing, which now Lindsay's going to tell you about it, and then I'm going to tell you about my experience.
Chipmunks, gophers, squirrels, they're cute, right? I mean, watching those little guys outside your kitchen window, they're always on a mission. Now, moles, on the other hand, I am telling you, those things are what nightmares are made of. Whether they're cute or not, they're all nuisances, and we don't want them in our yards. But let's make peace, not war. We don't need to kill them. This week's new to Lou 2 is Bonide's Mole Max Mole and Gopher Repeller Sonic Spikes. These spikes repel burrowing animals such as moles, gophers, voles, chipmunks, and ground-dwelling squirrels right out of your lawn. The spike uses a scientifically developed chatter sound that mimics the alarm and distress calls burrowing rodents use to warn kin of danger. Now, you can't hear this chatter, but in my head, it kind of sounds like this. But they actually sound like this. Again, you won't be able to hear that because it'll be buried underground. The spikes come either battery-operated or solar-powered, and they suggest a spike every 30 feet or so. It looks like a tall letter T. You just push the spike into the ground, allowing the top of the T to remain visible, and you've got yourself a year-round repeller. The Mole Max battery-operated Sonic Spike goes for about $15 and the solar-powered for about $25. You can find out more at Bonide.com and to find a dealer near you. I know they're also available on Amazon. As usual, I'll put all this information up on Lou's Mr. Fix-It page on WGNRadio.com, also up on his Facebook page, and also up on VibeScore. Download the free app on your iPhone and vibe about it. That's this week's New to Lou 2.
That's funny. That's really funny.
Cute.
Your button is stuck.
What do you mean?
Well, you're in my ear and you're not on the air. Something's stuck.
How's this?
Veronica, can you hear her on the air? Yes?
Right now? I can, yes.
You can?
Oh, good.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, something's stuck because I'm hearing you in my ear where I shouldn't be.
Oh,
anyway,
shoot. Okay.
So this product, now you have the fancy product that that mine has batteries. There you go. Whatever you just did, that's working. So it's a steak. It's a green steak. This one is solar powered. So I had this problem where the chipmunks are underneath their steps for years, and I would see them. And Enzo would go there and dig. It would drive him crazy because he couldn't get at these chipmunks. So I go and I take this steak. I take the broom handle down, like they say. You put a little broom handle in that, and you pound it in the ground, and you turn it on. Now, you're going to say, that's going to really bother me. But when you pound it into the ground, the sound actually comes from the bottom. You don't hear it. So I put the stake in the ground, and evidently every 30 seconds, it goes off. But I don't hear a thing. The chipmunks haven't been back for 3 weeks.
That's awesome.
3 weeks. Now, I am not usually a sonic guy because, you know, talking to exterminators, they will say, oh, well, then they'll get used.
I know. See, this was my car right down here.
So every 30 seconds it goes off. They think that that's a chipmunk or a mole going, oh, my gosh, somebody's here to eat me.
Hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
They haven't been back.
What were you saying about you don't like sonic? Why?
Because a lot of exterminators have told me, professional exterminators, that the animal gets used to it.
Oh.
In other words, they get scared for a while, and then they go, oh, I don't want it. But then other people I've heard is they find a spot. So animals are creatures of habit. Mm-hmm. And so they, you know, to think about you when you walk your dog. Do you walk your dog?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When you walk Hammy, doesn't he usually go do his business kind of in the same spot?
Yes.
Right? Like you'll walk him around the neighborhood, like, oh, this is the area.
Right.
Same with our dogs, right? They're creatures of habit, right? And so the thing is if you can get them to just leave that area you want them to leave, they'll go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
This thing's awesome. $17. Well, I think the solar one's a little more.
A little more. It's like $25.
Okay. But the solar one, then you never have to worry about the batteries.
Right.
It's awesome.
It never turns off.
Right. 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 Mole Max Mole and Gopher Repellent. And it says the chatter sound technology simulates the natural distress call that burrowing rodents use to warn of nearby predators. And they have a picture of a little cute little chipmunk. And it keeps going up. It's actually a cute little soothing sound.
Oh, yeah.
I could. It is. I could. I think later on this afternoon when I go to take a nap, I'm just going to put it in the bed next to me.
Under your pillow? I'm going to try it and see if it works with rabbits, too. I don't know if
you have
a
huge problem with rabbits.
Yeah, so I'll report back and let you know.
Yeah, it doesn't say rabbit.
It doesn't, but I'm going to try it.
But it could.
Want some help with rabbits?
Here she goes.
What?
Plant
basil. Asparagus?
Basil. They, deer and rabbits hate the smell. So when I have planter boxes.
What if they're Italian rabbits?
Well, maybe they like them. No, I plant basil around every plant that I want safe. There's another tip that I picked up from a gardening friend. This one's kind of weird, but it works too. Get some Zest or Irish Spring soap that's really, really stinky and powerful. Put it in a little cup or something. And with a little water and put it by the plant. They hate the smell of that, too.
Yeah. I used to use Irish Spring when I was single.
That's why you were single? Or?
Yeah. When I was, before I was married, I used to buy Irish Spring. Do people still use that? Is it still around?
It must be.
I think it,
be.
It is. Yeah. I bought some and put it in little cups, set it by my apple trees when they were new, so the deer would leave them alone. Yeah.
Deer. Well, we don't have a deer problem, but deer bunnies, rabbits. I'd love to have a deer problem.
I like the basil problem. Then you can pick the basil.
I was going to say, so you must have like a overgrowth of basil around
I bring it to people, and then I'm always joking, you know, because I'm going to get pulled over for, you know, something, and there's going to be this little baggie of green leaves in my front seat that I'm bringing to a friend or something. And
officer.
Ms. Carter, what is in the bag? Honest officer, it's basil. Uh-huh. Come with me.
Take a sniff.
You're coming with me. Well, that information is up on our website, WGNradio.com. And at my Facebook page, at Lou Manfredini on Facebook, and you can vibe about it using the VibeScore app. We'll get back to your phone calls right after these. More of the Mr. Fix-It Show coming up. Don't go away.
You are tuned in to Lou Manfredini on the Mr. Fix-It Show. He's always got lots to talk about and lots of questions to answer. So give us a call, 312-981-7200 on the Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN. I've been driving all night, my hands wet
on the wheel. 8:09 in the morning, the Mr. Fix-It Show. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by AccessBruno.com. Fox Lake, no, Fox Home Center, the caller I'm going to talk to is in Fox Lake, and the Lindeman Chimney Company, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is where I got confused, because this is Kate in Fox Lake. Hi, Kate, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
I have a question.
What'd you do? What'd you do last night, Kate?
What did I do last night?
Yeah.
Actually, I came home from work and just kind of relaxed.
Yeah. Sometimes. Yeah. Isn't that the best?
Yeah. Anyhow, I have a friend who has a home up in Wisconsin, a summer home.
Okay.
And when they went up there, it has an atrium attached to it.
Okay.
And they keep some heat on in the house, but not in this atrium. And they store all kinds of just the lake stuff and everything in there. And when they went up there, they said it has mold in it. And I can't quite picture this, but they said there's mold on the windows, too.
Oh, sure.
Oh, okay. Anyhow, they asked me if I had any ideas what to do, and I said, well, first of all, get everything out of there, open the windows, and start to air the place out.
Right.
You know, keep that room separated from the rest of the house. Now, I know they can scrub it down with bleach.
No.
This concrobium, I've never used it. I don't know if, you know, what's their next step once they get it cleaned out?
So bleach is not the answer.
Oh, okay.
Because now it's it's the atrium. Is it made of wood? Is it made of metal? Do you have any idea?
It's glass and the framing is metal.
Okay.
But then there's the wall attached to the house, and I don't know if there's mold on that or not.
Right. So the point is that for porous materials, bleach is not a great option because it doesn't really do anything for porous materials. The concrobium is a terrific cleaner. Okay. There's also, you may have heard some commercials now, there's a company called Healthful Home that makes this thing called Fog U. Yeah, it's a fogger. So if they, this might actually make the most sense. Does the atrium have a way to be, are there doors that close from the house to the atrium?
Yes.
Okay. Close those doors. Go buy this Fog U mold cleaner that you can get. Where are you? Do you live in Fox Lake?
Yeah.
All right. You know where that Ace is in Fox Lake?
Oh, yeah. My favorite store.
It's a great store. Find people that own it. And you're going to go in there, and they should carry this fogger. It's an it's like an aerosol can. You're going to go in there, you're going to turn it on, you're going to get out of the room. And it's going to fill the room with this cleaner, and it's going to grab all that mold, and it's going to kill it all.
Okay.
Then come back in. They also, Healthful Home makes a mold cleaner as well, which is very good. You could use their cleaner or the Concrobium. They're both very good. And scrub it all down with that. The benefit of the Concrobium and or the Healthful Home mold cleaner is there's residual value, and it can be used on porous materials as well.
Okay.
And then your friend, the problem, here's what's probably happening is they stored all their summer lake stuff that's wet, and the sun gets in there, and the humidity's there, and as it dries out, it's just a breeding ground for all that. So even though
that's what I said. They may have put some damp cushions or something in there.
Right, right.
I mean, they're convinced that maybe the glass has failed, you know, and is leaking.
Well, I mean, that's certainly a possibility as well. Something I will say that might make sense for them if they're going to do this and store it, if there's a way for them to install an exhaust fan through a wall somewhere, okay?
And it just keep air circulating through there.
Correct, and they can connect that to a humidistat. And
okay.
What they'll do is they'll put it to 50%.
Uh-huh.
And if the moisture level gets over 50%, which is pretty high, but if it gets on there, that fan's going to kick on. It's going to suck all that damp air and blow it outside.
Okay.
And that will happen year-round.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because they get condensation in there at certain times and
correct.
Stuff like that.
Right. And that is moist places, you know, moist areas like that. That is... that's a breeding ground for mildew and mold, and so that would be the catch. Bleach on porous materials, not a good thing. Concrobium enema, the Healthful Home, and the Fog U mold product would be a great choice for that. Thank you so much for the phone call. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. This is Daniel in Naperville. Daniel, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Yeah, hi, Lou. Let me throw you a curveball.
All right.
I have a mother fox and five or six little baby foxes in my backyard. They, like, run around. They're cute as can be. And believe me, my neighbors and I do not have a rodent problem.
Okay.
I live in right downtown Naperville next to North Central College.
Okay.
And I talked to Willowbrook Wildlife Haven, and they said, just let them be. They're a protected species, you know.
Right.
Don't feed them. Don't pet them. Don't, you know, they'll leave. But I just thought I'd tell you that's what happened to me.
Well, so in other words, are you fine with leaving them alone, or are you worried about?
Yeah.
Okay, you're not worried about getting rid of them.
No.
Okay.
The problem is I got one of those sheds that doesn't have a concrete foundation.
Right.
So they're living under that shed.
Got it.
You know, an 8x12.
Okay. I mean, the thing is that if you're fine with letting them, you know, letting the fox raise their babies and go on, that's great, you know. But if you want to have them move on to another area, one of the products that's not harmful but will redirect them is this motion-sensing sprinkler called Spray Away.
Uh-huh.
Which I've talked about on the past. You can stick that in the ground connected to a hose and sort of point it over by where the shed is, and then when they come out, it'll blast them with water. It's not harmful, but it scares the living you-know-what out of them, and they'll move along. I mean, the animal control people are right. As they grow, they're going to move around. But again, creatures of habit. They find a place where they want to live. It's comfortable. Nobody's bothering them. Then they're going to stick around. For those that have a problem and say, I don't want this fox in my yard. I want him to go somewhere else. Something like the Spray Away is a really non-harmful way to redirect them to another spot. Appreciate the phone call. It's 8:16 in the morning. You're listening to the Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN.
Hey, this is Dean Richards from Sunday Mornings here on WGN and the WGN-TV Morning News. Now back to Lou Manfredini, a Dean's List A+, and the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Speaking of honoring, Dean Richards is one of the honorees of the Walk of Fame. You're invited to join us at the WGN Radio Walk of Fame induction ceremony on Friday, May 27th at Tribune Tower. We're honoring 10 broadcasting legends outside of Pioneer Court, beginning at 1 p.m. Max Armstrong, Floyd Brown, Jim Carrillo, Dan Fabian, Marilyn Miller, Tom Peterson, and Dean Richards. If you are a fan, a longtime fan of this radio station, I highly recommend that you come out and see us, because it's a really fun event, and it's just an honor to be part of and to see those that have been on the air for so long to be honored in this Walk of Fame as well. It's a huge honor that I was lucky enough to receive last year, and I know for all of us that have, it's been great, and I'm really proud of this class as well. That day, you can also follow our live blog online at WGNradio.com. Visit WGNradio.com/Walk of Fame for complete details. 8:22 in the morning. Coming up after 8:30 this morning, we're going to talk to an old friend of mine, Joe Polina. We're going to talk about your landscaping. It's been a weird year this year. You know, it just has never warmed up. And so, you know, that whole idea of don't plant till after Mother's Day. Well, it's been freezing after Mother's Day, and I know a lot of people still haven't planted. Joe's going to give us some ideas as a professional about some of the things that they're doing to make sure that the lawn and the garden and the trees and the shrubs all look good. That if it's something you want to try and tackle yourself, or if you have a landscape contractor that you want to know how to address certain things and what you should be asking, Joe's going to give us a little insight coming up after 8:30 this morning. But right now, let's get back to the phone lines. This is Jim in Orland Park. Jim, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm terrific. How can I help you?
Have you ever heard of hydraulic cement not working?
Sure.
What could be wrong with it?
Pilot error.
Pardon?
Pilot error.
Pilot error?
What are you using it on?
Well, I'm not using it. A plumber is, we had a sewer that broke, you know, and the pipe they put through there is plastic, and they've been out here like three times putting hydraulic cement on there, and it doesn't work.
So wait, so the pipe is going where?
Going out to the street.
Okay. You know, the thing is that if the point where that pipe is, the hydraulic cement can't get deep enough to hold on, you may need to do something like an epoxy injection, which may mean that pipe has to be a little bit of chipping or drilling has to happen around it.
Well, they did that every time. They've put this hydraulic cement down three times, and it really doesn't look like hydraulic cement. Hydraulic cement usually is smooth.
Right, right.
And not porous. This is like porous. They're supposed to come Monday and redo it inside and outside. So we'll see what they do.
Yeah. I think that, you know, if they're unsuccessful, you may have to do something like a basement waterproofing company like a PermaSeal, you know, who also, as we mentioned earlier this morning, offers plumbing services. But, you know, give them one more shot if this is their work. Are you having to pay for this next trip, or is this part of what you
paid for? No, it's part of what I already paid for.
Okay. Well, let's see how they do this time. But if that doesn't work, then I would give PermaSeal a call and have them come out and fix it once and for all. And then you know it's going to work, and it's definitely not going to leak. Appreciate the phone call. Here's Steve in Palatine. Steve, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi. I've got a question about whether or not I can lay engineered hardwood over a cushion vinyl.
Well, it wouldn't be my first choice.
You wouldn't?
Yeah, I mean, well, tell me about the vinyl.
It's in good shape. It's an Armstrong cushion vinyl.
What is the room we're doing this in?
Kitchen.
Yeah. So here's the funny thing about this. Whenever you do the engineered floors, have you ever walked on an engineered floor before?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a feel to it. You know what I mean?
It's floating.
Yeah, you feel the float, okay? Now, if you do that over a cushioned vinyl, you're going to feel the float even more. Have you ever been on a cruise?
No.
Well, neither have I, but I'm trying to make a point. But I've
been on a boat.
Yeah. Right. Okay, well, it's sort of like being on a boat. You walk around with your captain's hat on all the time. I don't know. I mean, my biggest issue with this, Steve, is that I'm never a big fan of putting a finished floor over another finished floor. And the reason is, if that finished floor fails, the one that's underneath, because now I've put something over the top and maybe I've trapped moisture, I've trapped heat, whatever, even though your vinyl floor is in good shape, now all of a sudden that starts to peel up, right? Or it separates somehow because it's not designed. Remember, a finished floor is designed to what you see is the finish. Now I'm covering that up. When that fails, whatever's on top of it is going to fail too.
Yep.
And so now you're opening up a can of worms that you don't need to open up. If you just take off that vinyl and get to a nice subfloor that is smooth and flat and tight, then you can put your floor on top of that. Who's going to do this work?
Me.
Yeah. It's a little more work, but it's worth it.
How do I take it up? Scrape?
Yeah. Is it tiles or is it sheet good?
It's sheet good.
Okay. So more than likely it's a perimeter glue. You're going to get underneath it. One of the easiest ways to do is take a sharp utility knife and cut it in sections, and then get a flat bladed shovel and get underneath it and slide, you know, peel up a part of it, pull it up and go. And more than likely the glue is on the perimeter. You'll sand that all down. You'll make sure the floor is nice and smooth. And then you put your new floor down there, and I promise you, you'll be a whole heck of a lot happier. Thanks for the phone call. 8:28 in the morning. Don't go away.
Just a minute, I have to tell you, I went to Menards, and I got a hold of a guy in the paint section, and he said, oh, I listen to Lou Manfredini all the time, and don't get anything else because you won't be satisfied, because Lou told you so.
Some nights I stay up, cashing in my pads.
The Mr. Fix-It Show with me, Lou Manfredini, on 720 WGN, 8:38 in the morning. In honor of Memorial Day, WGN Radio has released a series of videos highlighting the behind-the-scenes access to the Marine Boot Camp at the Marine Corps Recruiting Depot in San Diego. One of those videos is The Crucible, viewed by more than 80,000 people. The Crucible shows the final challenge that recruits must compete in order to become a Marine, carrying 60 pounds of gear over 48 miles within 54 hours on 6 hours of sleep and only two meals. At the end of the challenge is an emotional Eagle, Globe, and Anchor ceremony that marks the transformation into becoming a Marine. Watch The Crucible and see the entire video series online at WGNradio.com/Marines. All right, so it's been a really weird spring so far. And, you know, I've joked that by the time spring gets here, it'll be summer. It's been kind of cool. It's been very difficult to do stuff outside. And whether you're a gardener, Veronica, you love gardening.
I do.
You love being outside and doing all this. And it has been an odd year for plants, because the risk is, you know, a frost will come, you're out exposed depending on where you live, and now all your work goes to pot, you know. And even garden centers, I'm sure, are chock full of flowers and shrubs and, you know, vegetables, and what can we do? So my longtime friend, who I've known many, many years, joining me on the phone right now, Joe Polina, who is the, what is your title over there at Polina Landscape? Head bottle washer and president?
And dishwasher.
Dishwasher. Joe Polina from Tommy Polina Landscaping. Good morning, Joseph.
Morning, Lou. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Normally when I call Joe and I say that to him, he says, terrible. How are you?
But no,
don't say that in the air, because hey, we're up today, we're breathing, we're working, the sun is out. Now, you've been a professional landscaper now for how long, Joe?
34 years.
Wow. It's funny, because you still look like you're 26.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. on the radio.
Much did y'all say there? On the radio, right.
What I just said, it's true, right? It's been kind of an odd spring, hasn't it?
It's been horrible. I mean, we're just sitting here trying to figure out what we can plant without getting in trouble, especially the annuals. I'm sure a lot of the homeowners are trying to figure out whether or not to put in their vegetables, if it's time yet. As you mentioned earlier in the broadcast, you know, normally the rule of thumb has been Mother's Day. But I got to tell you, I've talked to some of my associates, and we're sitting there going, you know, we should probably try to consider doing these things after the Memorial Day weekend. Because, like, last weekend, we already had impatiens into the ground, and I had some left over at the shop, and I put them in the top rack, and I lost them. I lost about four flats, which is not a big deal.
Right.
If you're a homeowner, you spend all weekend doing it.
Right.
Kind of like, oh, great, now I got to do it all over again.
Right. And those plants, Joe, right, I mean, when you first put them in the ground, I mean, certainly they're probably excited to get out of those flats and, you know, expand their horizons and get those roots growing. But they're probably pretty vulnerable at that point, right?
Well, of course. You know, it may take a lot of beating, loading, unloading. You got to take them out of the packet. And usually, under normal situations, what you want to do is you want to take the root system. You know, especially if you're dealing with like a 1 gallon or 3 gallon or 5 gallon container, and slice them in three different, you know, locations, so you don't have the root girdling. You know, so the roots are able to expand. You know, you take it out of the container and you see the roots almost like in a circle.
Right.
But you sort of want to stop that. You want to cut that in at least the three spots. So yeah, sometimes it do go into shock. You know, you want to give it the, you know, the best chance possible. You know, that's why, you know, you put on the fertilizer and the mushroom compost, and you make sure that you have drainage, you make sure you have exposure and put the right plant in the right spot. But and sometimes if you're planting a strawberry, you know, a couple of temperatures like last weekend doesn't really make a big deal unless you have something that's flowering like a magnolia per se.
Right.
But if it's a vegetable or an annual, you know, there's a chance you could lose it.
Right. I know that for a lot of people, you know, this time of year, and it's funny, you know, our daughter Carmen, who spent the year at school in New York, she came home the first day, you know, after a couple of days, and I think she had to drive to an appointment or something, and she said to me, "Oh my gosh, I cannot believe how green everything is here." You know, obviously you're running around New York where you don't see as much grass, and certainly the grass is starting to green up, but for people that are having that have problem areas, and you know, they're already putting seed down or whatever. This cold weather, you know, I've been telling people for a while now to wait on the seed. This is a few weeks ago now, because if that ground isn't warm enough, the seed is just not going to germinate.
No, it's not. It's going to sit there and sit there and sit there until we get some more warm temperatures. I mean, the summer seed we put in, you know, we're sitting there looking at it going, come on. You know, it's not going anywhere. You know, but this week, yeah, with the temperatures, everything starts greening up, but it's basically, if the ground doesn't reach at least a good 55 degrees, mm-hmm. I mean, nothing's happening, you know, as far as the seed is concerned.
Right. And what you talked about in the fact that with flowers, and I know that you at Polina Landscaping do a lot of planting for folks, because of this colder temperature, you know, the plants may survive, but they just might not start to expand and grow as soon as you'd like because of this cold weather, right? They're going to constrict a little bit, and so you may see blooming a little bit later than normal.
Well, you see, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that affects us in a couple of different ways because, you know, if we're doing, you know, say annuals or flower arrangements, you know, you want to space them, you know, 6-8 inches on center, depending on how thick you want them to be and how fast you want them to grow. So if you get a situation where 8 inches on center, you know, the plants are going to sit there and the customer's going to go, well, when is things going to grow? And the same thing could be affected with flowering plants. If you're dealing, for example, if they grow lilacs right now, I mean, with this time of the season, you know, you should have flowers on them already. They're mm-hmm. still sitting there. Unless you're facing south, you got no flowers on them yet.
Right. Boy, that's tough. I mean, especially as a pro when you're out there, you know, and I'm sure that it's like anything, right? You're trying to set people's expectations about what's going to happen and what you're going to see. But none of us obviously can control the weather. All right, let me switch gears a little bit. And I know that, you know, one of the number one things that people do to kill all the plants that they plant, whether they do it themselves or they hire you or other landscape contractors to come out there, is people over water.
Yes.
Is there some rule of thumb as a pro that you can give us when it comes to whether it's the flowers in the flower boxes or even the trees and the shrubs and, more importantly, the lawn because, you know, I learned, I know you're a student of our friend Jim Fazell. You know, years ago, you know, he would talk about, geez, you know, if you water too much, the grass doesn't need to grow deep, and then it's not as strong of a plant.
That is exactly right. I always listen to Jim Fazell's advice on that one. We always, when it comes to turf, we recommend 1 inch of watering a week. And I always tell my clients, you know, especially when I have control of the irrigation system, I set it to go on every 3 days because I want to give room for it to dry. I also would encourage a rain sensor. So if it's raining, there's moisture in the ground, you're not wasting water, and you're not overwatering. When it comes to the plants themselves, when we install plant material, we give our customers a watering guide. And I always tell them, garden hose in the right hand, no attachment, and a cup of coffee on the left. 30 seconds on, 30 seconds off, switch off, back and forth. And when it comes to trees, you know, even if you do it once a week, but a slow trickle over 15, 20 minutes, you're good. You know, always watch for wilting. When we see things like, I always tell my customers, look at the hydrangeas. If the hydrangeas are wilting, it's time to water. You know, there's some little rule of thumbs, but you know, the hardest part is the evergreens. If you put in boxwoods or junipers or arborvitaes, you know, those will not give you any signs of wilting until it's almost too late. So
right.
you want to look at it and say, okay, you know what, it hasn't rained in a week. I think I'll water these babies.
Right. All right, my last question for you is, I've noticed, you know, in the hardware store business, because obviously we sell a lot of fertilizers and, you know, different products that are helpful for people, you know, whether it's weed killers or whatever, for the do-it-yourselfers. There's been a big movement that I have seen with customers coming into the store that they are really hesitant to use chemicals, you know, traditional chemicals on their lawn, and this whole organic movement, both with the garden and even in the grass, seems to be getting more and more traction. And while those are not as effective, you know, the chemicals can make things look green pretty quick. Are you seeing that as a pro? And are you having those conversations with your commercial customers as well?
We do have some commercial customers that are very interested in that. As a matter of fact, we have one large client that we're removing a lot of turf and installing native grasses and native plants. And I got to tell you, when they start flowering, they look great. As far as residential customers, especially my customers with children and pets, are asking, you know, what can we do that's organic? And there are organic products out there, but the only weak spot that I would think of would be when it comes to like a herbicide. You know, if you're dealing with something like clover or ground ivy, you know, your regular sticking agents are not going to work on that. And,
right.
You know, I tell my customers, go, look, if you don't want to use chemicals, don't use them. Enjoy the yard. Let it go. And when you can't stand anymore, we'll rip it out and put in new grass. At least you have a backyard with no chemicals on it.
Right, right.
You know?
Right.
You know,
I mean, it seems to me that, the, you know, the offerings within the consumer brands, you know, when it comes to weed control, there really is no organic other than getting down on your hands and knees and pulling the weeds that is available. But it just seems like this trend is continuing. And you know, I've talked about this, that, you know, the companies like the Scotts companies of the world who are, you know, it's a chemical company, right? They really got to reinvent themselves. And I know they are, that they have a bunch of organic products as well. But that technology, I think, is it's changing. And I was just curious that as a professional, if you're also hearing from customers as well that are concerned.
All the time. You know, again, especially, you know, with children. And when I see young children at a household or I see a swing set, you know, I ask them, you know, how many children do they have? They, you know, they go on the yard.
Sure.
You know, well, what do they do? You know, and I tell them, I mean, look, you know, you have your options here. How do you feel about them? I mean, there's some customers that we call turfies, where they go, got to have the turf. Got to be green.
Right.
Be, you know.
Right.
And there's some that go, listen, I don't really care as long as it's green and I don't have a lot of weeds on it. You know, it is what it is, you know.
Right.
I want my kids to be exposed to it.
Right. That's great.
But there's a trend.
That's great. All right. Well, it's always nice to talk to you, my friend. If people want to get a hold of you as a full-service landscape contractor, how do they do that?
You can give us a call at the office, which is area code 847-698-6867. 568. And you can look at our website also at www.tommypolina.com.
Joe Polina, an old friend of mine and a fine landscaper. Give a big kiss to your wife for me, all right?
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Talk to you later. It is 8:50 in the morning. Lou Manfredini here with you, the Mr. Fix-It Show. We'll come back to your phone calls right after these. It's a good one.
Hey, this is Patty Vasquez. Now back to Lou Manfredini and the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGA.
Thank you, Patty. Oh, I like this song. Just saw Veronica move a little bit. She likes this song, right?
I do. You have to like this song.
Come on, how can you not?
Mm-hmm.
8:54 in the morning, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Lou Manfredini here with you on the Mr. Fix-It Show. Here is Judy in Lake Villa. Hi, Judy.
Good
You're
morning.
On WGN.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm terrific. How can I help you?
Well, I have two questions. A while ago, I had a sump pump and the surrounding tiles put in the crawl space where I live.
Okay.
And ever since, it goes off every 60 seconds all day long. I had the people back. They raised the float, and it's still going. It was suggested to me that maybe I thought maybe it needed to be put in deeper, but then I'm thinking it may have to be raised up. I called the Lake County water waste management people, and they said I have what they call hydric soil in the area.
Okay.
So what can I do, Lou, to mitigate that? So that pump, and to me, it's like the pump keeps going off, and my electric keeps, goes on, goes off every 60 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something, should that have been put up higher when they installed the sump pit? Or what's the, I don't know.
Do you have access, Judy, to the pump? You can go down to where the pump is?
I can, but it's in a crawl space, and I've never been down there.
Okay.
It's a scary place.
No, I understand. So what you want to be able to do is someone needs to go in there and unplug the pump and see how high the water comes up, okay?
Okay.
So if it's holding water in the pit and that water, if I unplug that pump like today where it's not raining, it's just a dry day, but you may have a high water table. If I unplug that pump and the water level comes up into the pit and I'm still 12, 16 inches below the top of the pit, That's where the float needs to be set.
But I was told, Lou, that it was set as high as it could go.
Well, I think they're full of it. So what I want you to do...
I mean the float, not the pit or whatever.
Yeah.
They said that the float was set as high as it could go.
Well, then they need to raise the pump. So, see what I mean? In other words, I don't know what kind of pump they used, but...
Zoeller.
Okay, well, if it's a Zoeller pump, that is not an adjustable... it's not an adjustable float. So they didn't do anything. They just said, we're going to go down there and take a look at it, Judy, you're fine. That pump, that float on a Zoeller pump has a cap on top, and it's fixed. The only way to change the height is to physically take the pump and raise the pump up out of the pit on top of some cinder blocks or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Right. You need to call PermaSeal.
Sir, yep. I don't want to tell you, but they're the people who put it in.
Well, then you need to have them come back.
Okay.
And they are going to solve this problem. Because that pump, in other words, the key answer here is if they unplug that pump and the water level goes up, and if the answer is, Judy, we can't raise the pump anymore because the water level is so high it'll spill over the top of the pump or over the pit, then that's a different answer than it's as high as it goes. But if I unplug that pump, okay, and the water level stays 12 to 16 inches below the level of the pit, then they can raise that. They're going to cut the pipe. They're going to put a block of wood, a cinder block underneath
cinder
it,
block. Okay.
And raise the pump, and then it's going to hold more water. I don't care if it holds water all day long. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Now when
it
rains and it goes a little bit higher, then the pump will go off, and it's not going to be going off every 60 seconds driving you crazy.
Right, right. Okay.
You tell them. You tell them we had this conversation, and they'll come back and fix it.
I will, sir. And one more question, if you have the time.
Sure.
I'm having a Goodman variable speed gas furnace installed. What do you think? They say they're made in America, everything, you know, they're, and, you know, they have a lot of the, like, the parts. I don't know if it's Honeywell or,
yeah,
or things like that.
It's a, it is a, Goodman is a fine brand. It's a brand that doesn't get advertised as much, so it's not a Lennox or a Carrier or whatever.
Right.
The overall cost of them is a little bit less, but they're fine products that work really well. The dirty little secret in all the HVAC world is that they share a lot of the same parts. Honeywell is in everything, and
okay,
it's good. You know, make sure they're giving you a good warranty. The equipment itself, while it's important,
yeah,
the more important thing is that you're getting a good a contractor to put it in. That's the most important
right
part.
Right, that's what he said as far as the sheet metal works.
Correct.
That has to
all
be,
that, all that has to be done correctly. So good luck with both of that. And let's get that sump pump fixed. That tone you heard meant that it's 9 o'clock in the morning. Can I take a quick break, Veronica, and come
I'll
to your news?
You.
And just, you're so nice. We'll be right back.
Now back to the Mr. Fix-It Show with your host, Lou Manfredini, on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Is that where you say, excuse me?
You're touching it. Stop touching it. This hour, the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com and by Ace Hardware. So, hi, it's the Mr. Fix-It Show, 9-11 in the morning. The way this system works here, we have these touch screens, and the music that's playing right now, Lindsay and I can see both of the screens, and it shows the commercials on one side and then the thing that's playing right now. But if she's moving commercials around, she has command of the system, and then when I try and hit a button to do something, it won't work because she's, you know, whatever. It's a protocol thing, I guess. So anyway, that was the she's touching it explanation comes.
I think it'd be funnier just to leave it without an explanation.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, can I do something very personal? Because today you have heard me speak. Actually, if any of you came out to the By the Yard broadcast, not the last one. When did we do the By the Yard broadcast, Lindsay, that my beautiful Tia Rosa came to, my Aunt Rose? Was that, it was in the winter, right? It was
the first, yes, it was the first, not the past one.
Not the
did,
past
but
one.
In the
but my Aunt Rose fall. Came out, and some of you that were there got to meet my beautiful Aunt Rose, who came out. Marlene Wells, who runs all that stuff for us all the time, was so kind. She reserved some seating up front in some of the By the Yard furniture. And today is her 91st birthday.
Amazing.
Yeah. She's an amazing woman who I just love to death. And we went out to lunch earlier this week, and we, with Quinn and Carmen and my wife, and then my cousins, Louise and Margaret, also came. And so we go down. She lives in Highland Park, and so we drove to go pick her up. And we took our Chevy Tahoe, which is a great, I love that car, but it's a big car.
Mm-hmm.
And my Aunt Rose is this big.
She's tiny.
It's tiny. So I'm holding my hand up, if you were to imagine as you know, as high as your kitchen counter, a little higher than that. And so I brought a step stool to put down on the ground so she could climb up into it, because there was so many of us, I had to get her up into the car.
Oh.
But we had a lovely time, and she is just an amazing woman who has been through, has just had an amazing life, raised three beautiful daughters, has all of these wonderful grandchildren, and she is just a wonderful, wonderful woman who has been just great to me. And I love you, Tia Rosa. Bon compleanno. Happy birthday, and I hope you have a great day. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Lou Manfredini here with you, the Mr. Fix-It Show. No, not that one. I wanted this one. Here's Ada in Oak Park. Hi, Ada. You're on WGN.
Hi, Lou. Good morning. How
morning.
Are you?
Great. How can I help you?
Well, I have a kitchen sink that talks to me. After it drains, it gurgles. Bloop, bloop, bloop.
Wait, did you just say after you have a drink, it talks to you? What did you say?
No, after it drains.
Are you in a house? Are you in a condo? Where do you live?
No, I'm in a house. Been here a long time.
Okay. And what have you done? This is a kitchen sink. Two sinks or one sink?
Two.
All right. and it gurgles on either side?
Yes.
All right.
I think one side more than the other, but yeah, I mean, because they're connected.
Okay. You want to try something?
Yes.
All right. There's a product you actually just heard me read a commercial for called InstaFlow. Where do you Where do you live, Ada? Oak Park. Okay.
Oak Park.
Go to the hardware store. Ask them for a jar of InstaFlow, which is a drain opener that is a bunch of chips. Okay? You're gonna boil some water.
Uh-huh.
And you're going to take some of these chips and you're going to pour the chips over the drain and make a little pile. Oh, let's say a cup of chips, okay?
Okay.
You don't have to be precise, but about what you think. Are you a baker?
Yes.
All right. So you know what a cup of something looks like, right?
Yes.
So you're going to pour that over the drain. Then you're going to take the boiling water and you're going to pour the boiling water over the chips. Now, I don't want your nose right over it because it's going to stink a little bit when you do that. But just stand away and pour the boiling water over there until it starts to sizzle and dissolve. I don't want you to pour it so that you rinse it all. But you remember, have you ever taken Alka-Seltzer?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So it's like that. And as it sizzles and pops, just when you see it start to activate, it's going to dissolve and go into the drain. And you're going to hear it go snap, crackle, and pop. And it's going to eat up all the stuff in the drain. Leave it there for 10, 15 minutes. And then turn the faucet on and see if things improve.
Okay.
And if that doesn't work, it could be in that older home that in the pipe inside the wall, it needs to be rotted out, and then you need a plumber to come out and do that. But if it does work, you got away with it for $10.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Right?
Yes.
Do me a favor. Hang on a second. I have this huge prize list of things that I never give enough. They tell me I don't give enough stuff away. So I'm going to give you some stuff. How about that, right?
Wonderful. Who doesn't right. Thank you very much.
Wait, listen to this. This is brand new. Do you have carpeting in your home?
A little bit.
Where?
On the stairs.
Where else?
And I have a new carpet that we just put in the front room.
How new?
4 months.
It's time to clean it.
It's not wall to wall. It's not wall to wall.
It's time to clean it. We're going to give you carpet cleaning from Executive Clean Carpet Cleaning, providing a level of clean that no one else in the area can deliver. All you got to do is visit executivegreencarpetcleaning.com. So hang on a second. We're going to send you out. It's $139 value. That's awesome. So we'll send that out to you. We'll get that information. Don't go away. More Mr. Fix-It Show coming up.
You're listening to Lou on the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I tell her, baby, 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 I'm a fireball.
923 in the morning. By the way, 312-981-7200 is not only our phone number, it's our text line. We'll do our Just Text Me segment after the 930 news this morning. So if you can't wait on the line, you want to text us, we'll answer your question while you're driving around. Here's Bridget in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin. Bridget, where'd you go for fish fry last night?
To John's bar.
Is it good?
It's very good, very good.
Did you have a beer with that fish fry?
Of course.
What'd you have?
I had a spotted cow.
Oh, it's only my favorite beer in the whole wide world.
Okay, this is what I love about Wisconsin. Every time you say, where did you go for fish fry last year? I mean, it's without hesitation,
right?
Without pause. They all say something.
Look, I didn't even show you this. Look at the sheet. Look at the T-shirt I'm wearing.
Oh, your wife sent me a picture last night. That's amazing. You know, we were just voted heaviest drinking state in the country.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I have a shirt
so
on.
Proud.
I have a shirt on, Bridget, that says drink Wisconsinability.
Well, is that I like that.
I got it from my friends Mike and Chris for my birthday. How can I help you?
Listen, I live in a condo complex. There are two side by side.
Okay.
And we've been here 8 years, and there's been a lot of discussion as to the siding, it's vinyl siding. What is the best way to clean your vinyl siding?
Well, I mean, there's a bunch of ways. How tall is the building?
We'd have to have someone do it. It's like two stories. And
okay.
I've had a painter come out because it doesn't need to be painted, but he said he would just spray it with water to clean it.
Yeah.
And then another guy said he's going to spray it with water and detergent to clean it.
Right. I would say that the best way, if you were going to hire somebody to do it, okay, mm-hmm. and they're going to come out and put ladders up, the best way to do it would be to spray it with a detergent. And there are these, you know, house wash products you can buy. I mean, you can even, I mean, they can buy them too, but you can connect them to a hose where the detergent will go and break it up. But in a perfect world, if we're going to spend the money to do this,
yeah.
they'd put a large brush on the end of a pole and they would do it section by section to do a little scrubbing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
if you've
been playing in the mud and I throw you in the shower and I spray you with water, you'll get pretty clean. But if I give you a bar of soap, say Irish Spring, you'll come out smelling fresh like the Irish forest, and you're scrubbing. So you want to scrub a little bit, too, if you're going to hire somebody.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's people out there that do that.
Yeah, the other thing, too, is if they were going to come and spray it with a detergent and pressure wash it, that's yeah. just like scrubbing.
Oh, so pressure washing is fine.
Correct. But we need, okay. but ultimately what we need is a detergent because mm-hmm. we want to make sure that the detergent is breaking down the dirt and debris that's on there so that it's nice and clean. The other thing I'll tell you this as well, Bridget, when they're up there, those painters, if it's a painter that's going to do it, you might want to have them at the same time check all the caulking around all the windows and doors as they're up on those ladders, because
yeah.
it would be a great time to address that as well.
Okay.
All right.
Now, okay, I have another quick question.
Mm-hmm.
We have composite decks, and again, they've got moss on it and bird dew and all of that. What? And they haven't been cleaned in 8 years. What is the best way to clean those?
Well, the same guy that's going to clean the siding would go with that pressure washer, put
okay.
a cleaner down, like, you know, you've heard me talk. There's a bunch of different products out there, but... Mm-hmm. Concrobium makes a product called Mold Eraser. There's
okay.
a cleaner called Wet and Forget that you can use on there that works really well. And then they pressure wash it and clean it. It'll look fantastic. But then on a regular basis, what you should probably do is talk to all the residents and say, look, everybody should go out and buy a bottle of Wet and Forget. And once a year, take a sprayer and just spray the deck down. And that will work with the rain and the wind and even the sun to break up and make sure that organic material doesn't grow. And it'll keep them looking nice, and then you won't have to pay somebody to do it so often.
Okay, so just do it once a year. And what is the name of the product again?
Wet and Forget.
Wet and Forget.
Do me a favor. Hold on a second because I have more things to give away. How about an Espoma prize pack? For the most effective natural and organic products for your garden, find Espoma products at your local flower and garden retailers and participating Ace Hardware stores. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
And we call it a phone, but we don't really use it much as a phone, do we? No, we don't.
Time for Just Text Me.
Who wants to talk? Oh, my God, I got to talk. Talking is work. You've got to make facial expressions. You got to suck air in. You got to blow it out.
Really? It's time for our Just Text Me segment. Veronica, the reason I bring this up, and I was thinking of you, right? Don't you have like a giant dog?
I have two dogs. One is ginormous, yes.
Right.
He's a little chubby. we don't say it like that, chubby.
You don't say it to his face,
chubby.
Do you?
Yeah.
Right.
He and I talk about it all the time.
About that he's fat?
Yeah, because we take walks, and we, you know, because my other dog is kind of thin. And he's blonde, and we always say, yeah, blonde and skinny. What do you know?
I know. Darn blonde dogs. So, you know the TV show How Smarts that I host?
Mm-hmm.
And we have a new episode coming up. And, you know, Steve Dale, who you hear on this very radio station, he also contributes to How Smarts. He has a story on this new, they're testing this thing in New York City called the Dog Parker.
Dog Parker.
Okay. It's a little... Lindsay, you saw this.
I did.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, so you're a city dog owner, and you're taking your dog to, you know, whatever, taking him on a walk, and you decide, oh, I want to go get a cup of coffee or a bagel or whatever. What do? You tie the dog to...
A fence post
or out right. on the sidewalk, but the risk is somebody could steal your dog.
Always a fear of mine when I live down here.
Right. Or... somebody could come up, oh, look at the cute doggy, and the dog bites somebody. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You never know. I mean, dogs are dogs, even though you could have the most friendly dog in the world. this company created these, what would you call them? Like a doghouse.
It reminded me of like a newspaper. What are those where you buy a newspaper?
A newspaper box. Yeah. Okay. But it's big enough for a dog, and it has, it's temperature controlled, and it uses UV lights, and you become a member. So you register to be part of this. This is all being tested in Brooklyn, I think, right?
So you don't have to put quarters in the machine.
No. Just, so you, because okay. Right now they're testing it. So you have a little.
It's like the Divvy bikes.
Like the Divvy bike, exactly. So now you go into the bagel place, and the restaurant has it outside there, and you put your dog. What's your chubby dog's name?
Buddy.
Buddy.
Get in there, buddy. Get in there, buddy. And Buddy goes in, and you close the door.
And it locks.
And it locks, and it's clear so people can see it. And it's temperature controlled. So if it's 90 degrees outside, it's air conditioned. And if it's. Yeah.
Was it?
Yes.
Because I thought that they said that when it gets really hot or whatever, they have to
when
close
it down.
When it
gets too hot, they shut it down because however the temperature is,
right.
They can only do so much.
Yeah.
So if it's 100 degrees, it won't open. You know, you can't put them in there and cook them and have hot dogs. Buddy dogs. Poor Buddy. Buddy.
You just made him hungry by mentioning hot dogs.
So I think it's cool. And then they're using UV lights to clean everything out when you leave.
Oh, is that how it cleans?
Right. So, because, you know, Lindsay was like, what if the dog has fleas or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But I think it's a neat concept.
I love it.
So and you can check it out on House Smarts today at 4 o'clock on WGN TV and tomorrow at 10:30 on WGN TV.
Who cleans it if the dog goes to the bathroom?
Well, I mean, I think as a responsible pet owner, you would, but they also have, in other words, they're figuring this thing out. Where they're going to come in and service it. You know, someone's like the Divvy Bike guys, you know, they go around. But I mean, if you're a dog owner and all of a sudden your dog takes a little, has a little, you know, does their business in there, you should, you know, just like if they do it in the street, you got to pick it up.
You would hope.
Well, you would hope. But the thing is, Sam, you have to be registered to use it. So in other words, what would happen is, hey, I went in there to use the thing. And then now the company knows the last guy was Sam Panionovich and his dog did his business in there.
Me and the dog?
What?
You said me and the dog.
You and the dog. Well, no, not you and the dog. No, you will not fit. They're not that big.
Okay.
They're not that big.
All right.
Is it time for Just Text Me?
It sure is.
Go.
Go. Okay. Oh, no, I've lost my page.
Okay.
No, I've got it. It's 630. Can you stain brick pavers? If yes, how and what to use? Pavers have been power washed.
Well, sure you can. It is a porous material. The thing is that what you need to know is if you're going to stain it literally with just an oil-based stain, it will not be, you're not going to get the consistent color because it's going to absorb the stain differently and it's risky. I don't know that I'd do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't do it. 312. Jim from Downers Grove says, I have very heavy soap scum in my fiberglass shower stall. I've tried many different products. What do you recommend?
It's a brand new product called Bright and Clean.
Interesting.
That I discovered at the Ace show that is a powder to take care of soap scum, and if you have glass that has a film on it that you've tried everything and it doesn't work, this was invented by a guy that, do I have the name right, Bright and Clean?
Oh, I don't know. Oh. I'm looking. I was just okay. Typing it up.
I'm pretty sure it's Bright and Clean. And it is a powder that you mix and then you use a microfiber pad and it will take care of it. It's amazing.
Brightandcleanhomes.com.
There you go.
There you go.
Okay.
No, I lost my page again. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well,
Lou,
machine.
I thought you said not to clean vinyl siding with a pressure washer because water could get behind it.
No, you just can't go crazy with it. I mean, you. The thing is if you take a pressure washer and you're just blasting it like crazy, you're going to get underneath it. But even if water gets behind it, it's okay. It's going to drain away. If it was installed properly, it's not an issue. The trick with that, I mean, think about it. With a driving rain hitting the siding, it's the same thing. Whomever's doing this, you've got to work from the top down so that you're angling it correctly. And when done properly, it's not a risk.
All righty. And lastly, 630, our wrought iron deck furniture is dull and dirty. What product do you use to restore and bring the luster and shine back?
Well, the dirty part is just a question of a simple solution of like dish soap and a scrub brush or even a pressure washer if you wanted to use it. But a detergent is the key. The dullness could just be the paint fading over time due to the exposure to the sun. So once you get it all clean and you see that it's, well, it still looks, you know, it looks consistent, but it's not shiny like I want it to be, then I would probably lightly sand it and then spray paint it with, get a couple cans of some Rust-Oleum, you know, iron paint that you can use in whatever color you would like and go right over the top of it. It's amazing. I did a project. We have this little bicycle planter that was dull and dingy. I even put it on my Instagram account, and I took a can of this hammered finish from Rust-Oleum, did a little sanding, cleaned it up, sanded it a little bit. It looks brand new. I mean, it is unbelievable. It took me 20 minutes tops to do the whole project, and the thing looks brand new. So don't throw it away. Fix it and put a little spray paint on there, and you'll be amazed at the results. You're good?
That's this week's Noodaloo, too.
No, that's just text me. Okay. What do you have in your coffee? Nothing? All right. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Fran in St. Charles. Hi, Fran. You're on WGN.
Hi. Big problem. As an octogenarian who'd like to have a 90th birthday like your Aunt Rosa.
God bless you.
I have rusting wrought iron furniture on a condo balcony, so I can't spray paint. And I certainly need a product that's a long life. I've heard of the ceramic paint. Is that an option?
Okay. If you're going to, are you going to paint it yourself?
Oh, I don't know if I can find anybody else to do it.
Okay. So you can certainly find the same paint that I'm talking about in a brush form.
Yes.
And but you are going to have to do a little cleaning and a little sanding.
Oh, the rust parts, I have to sand it?
Right.
Okay.
Now, Rust-Oleum makes a product called Hammerite.
All right.
They make it in a spray, and they make it in a little quart. And it actually has glass beads in it. It's a hammered finish. And so it has this really beautiful patina after you put it on. It's sort of, it provides, I don't want to say a texture, but it is a texture, but it's more of a visual texture. And it's beautiful. And it comes in different colors, and you can brush it on.
Okay.
If spray painting is not an option. But
it can't be an option. The balcony is too small. I'd get it on the brick.
Got it. So if you do a little prep work, clean it, and then sand the areas that are rusty, it's a self-priming product that will work, and you'll be amazed at how much nicer that furniture looks. And just take your time. Put it. You know, this is an oil-based product, so you want to make sure that you're putting a a drop cloth or something down. And you'll need a little mineral spirits to clean the brushes when you're done.
But, mineral spirits,
because it's oil-based. But it'll give you give you great results.
Oh, I'm happy to hear that. Okay, so you don't know anything about the ceramic paint option?
Not for metal. Not for metal.
Oh, they said it was okay for metal.
Well,
okay.
I know what it is. It's the ceramic bead technology. It's used on a lot of interior paints, and it might be used on a metal paint as well. It's, as long as it says it's for metal, but this Rust-Oleum product that I'm speaking of that has the glass beads in it, the hammered finish, I think you're going to be really happy with the results that you get and how nice it looks. Thank you so much for the phone call. It's 9:48 in the morning. We'll be right back.
Happy trails.
Oh, go ahead and read. Go ahead and read.
Hey, get the stories that make the city with unlimited digital access to award-winning Chicago Tribune News. Become a member at WGN. Nope, become a member today at chicagotribune.com.
9:52 in the morning. Thank you so much for listening to the Mr. Fix-It Show. Our last call is sponsored by Townstone Financial. Here's Pam in Grays Lake. Hi, Pam. You're on WGN.
Hi. We have hairless dogs, and we want to be able to fertilize.
Wait a minute.
Isn't that funny?
It's just a funny thing to hear someone say on the radio. We have hairless dogs, Yes. Do you cover, what kind, is it an Egyptian dog?
They're Chinese Crested, hairless Chinese Crested. Actually, we have four, and one is a Powder Puff, which has hair. And then one is called a Hairy Hairless, and then the other two are hairless.
And are they big dogs or little dogs?
They're little dogs. The biggest one is 21 pounds, but she's overweight.
Do you call the dog chubby like Veronica calls her dog chubby?
No. No.
You don't insult your dog like Veronica does.
I insult myself too while I'm doing it though, so it's okay.
You know, there's someone that's in our neighborhood when we take the dogs on a walk on the little trail over there that has this kind of larger dog that has no hair, and I think it's from Egypt.
Yeah, I think there is. I know there's a Mexican hairless.
Yeah.
And then there's.
It's a beautiful dog, but in the winter you have to cover him up, don't you?
Yes. Well, one of them is wearing a sweater now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because our house is cool right now.
Right.
But yeah, we keep sweaters on in the winter, and they wear a coat when they go outside.
This is Dog Talk with Lou Manfredini here on Saturday mornings. Steve Dale is calling and say, "Get out of my space." All right. So your question is about your hairless dogs, which makes me giggle.
We want to fertilize, but we want a fertilizer that isn't going to hurt them. My husband did call the Scotts company, and they said, you can fertilize, but the dogs can't go on it for 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So can you recommend anything?
Yeah. This is a big issue with people with pets. The 24 hours, the thing is with a granular, even like a Scotts, 24 hours, it's still there. In other words, that what they're talking about is the fact that there's a dust residue initially when it goes down that eventually dissipates and is safe for pets. But if you want to go the all-natural route and organic, this isn't going to help you with weeds per se unless you kind of go the right route. You may have heard me talk about the Jonathan Green product line.
Yep, I used some last summer.
All right, so their Magical will change the soil pH and get it right. And an acidic soil is where weeds grow. And when you use the Magical, it takes that acidity out of the soil and will improve it. They also make a product called Love Your Lawn, Love Your Soil that will help loosen the soil and promote growth. And then you put some of their seed down. And if you overseed the lawn, you get a thick, beautiful lawn that chokes the weeds out. And then your dogs can roll all over the place. Another product to use is Milorganite, which is all natural, and that can be used as well as much as you want. You can't use too much of it, and it'll have your lawn looking great.
Okay, Milorganite.
Milorganite. Okay. You spell it just like it sounds.
Okay.
Jonathan Green Magical, Love Your Lawn, Love Your Soil, and their Jonathan Green Black Beauty Grass Seed.
Black Beauty. Okay.
All right.
Can I just ask you one real quick question?
Sure.
Okay. We have a deck that we just had a deck put on last year, and a lot of bees have been around it. I know there's bees that are attracted to certain woods. What are those woods? Our deck is cedar.
Is cedar? They love cedar.
Oh, God. Yep, about a month ago. That's what the bees, the hornets or whatever they are, wasps, I don't know.
It's because it's the sap in the cedar.
Oh, God.
Just keep it clean, okay? Keep it clean, and if you see any nests, use a little spray. If they're probably yellow jackets that you're seeing, right?
I'm not sure. I don't know the difference between they're kind of longer, about an inch long,
okay,
and striped, skinny.
Right. So in areas that you see them congregating, you can use a little foaming bee spray to get rid of them, but if you keep the deck clean, once that deck really dries out, it'll get better. But initially, when you get all the tannins and the oils and a little bit of the sap that's in the cedar, they are attracted to that, in particular when it's new. Do me a favor. Hang on one second, Pam. Let's send Pam out a Mr. Fix-It Lose Crew T-shirt, courtesy of our friends at Fox Home Center in Alsip and created by Rags of Honor, helping veterans get back on their feet. Don't go away.